So today, guess what we're going to learn from? Proverbs. I set it up for you. I lobbed it right up there, right over the plate. We're going to learn again from Proverbs. Now, I don't know that this is going to happen, so God obviously decided to have a series on Proverbs. Amen?
Amen?
Now, before we go to, we will be in Proverbs 25, by the way. Yeah. You already knew. All right. That's good stuff. Maybe we can get up here and tag team it. Come on. God gave you half, gave me half. I would love that. Proverbs 25. Oh, let me see if you got the verse. Let me see if you can get that. You go preach it. Come on. What you got? What you got for me?
We'll start at the second, the first and second verse.
No. But I can do mine and you can do one and two. I would love that. Amen, amen. Before we go to our text, the actual verse, I want you to do a little exercise with me. I'm going to need you to paint a word picture in your mind to get you in the right place to get the maximum amount of benefit and understanding from this particular text. So I need you to close your eyes, and don't worry, mine are open, so I got you. Nobody's going to come in here and do anything to you. Amen?
Amen.
Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine, if you will, a very hot day. Let's call it 110, 115 degrees, like Sister LaQuisha was talking about the homeless. Imagine that. It's 110, 115 degrees. For those of you who like the heat, let's make it 130. Because some of you all like that heat, especially if it's dry. It's really hot, uncomfortably hot. Keep your eyes closed. I want you to imagine being uncomfortably hot. And now you're outside and uncomfortably hot. You're outside and you're actually doing work in the yard, doing whatever it is that you consider work. And you've gotten to the point to where, and I want you to imagine this now, where it is extremely uncomfortable. You're being overwhelmed by that heat. I want you to feel that. I want you to imagine what that would feel like. Now, I'm not going to leave you there too long because I know you're uncomfortable. I hope you are. If you're painting a proper picture, you are uncomfortable, mentally at least. And I want you to imagine when you've been doing this for a few hours, it's extremely uncomfortable. You maybe even are at the point of exhaustion. And somebody comes up to you and they give you an ice cold glass of your favorite cold beverage. I want you to feel that. I want you to think about what that feels like. I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine. I want you to have a sensation of the relief that you feel. So I want you to contrast that exasperated, that heat exhaustion sense that I hope you got to in your mind. And I want you to contrast that with someone coming up, giving you a cold glass of fill in the blank that you would like to have at a time like that. You can open your eyes. Now for me, what I'm thinking about, believe it or not, is being on the golf course, not out in the yard. And my brother-in-law knows it. My golf is not as good when I'm overheated because I can't wait to get back into the cart. And I did get to the point nearly of a heat stroke at one point. And I remember barely dragging back to the clubhouse and the restaurant, and things are a little foggy. I'm moving slow. And then suddenly, when I get into the clubhouse, even before I get to the cold drink, just the coolness of the air inside just brought life back to me. Literally felt myself coming back, went from foggy to clear. I remember that contrast very, very much. So with that in our minds, let's go to our text. That is Proverbs 25 and 13. Proverbs 25 and 13. You say, Pastor, is that it? Just 13? That's it? One verse? The answer is yes. For my Proverbs students, that means this verse stands alone. It is its own segment. It is not directly connected to the verse before it, nor is it directly connected, nor does it flow smoothly into the verse after it, but it's coming from the same source. Amen?
Amen.
So let's read Proverbs 25, verse 13. I'll have you all read it aloud. Read it again.
As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him.
Mm.
For he refreshes the soul of his master.
Amen, amen, amen. Now this verse again, it stands on its own. It's not connected to the verse about the earring of gold and the ornament of gold, fine gold, and the reprover and obedience. Had nothing to do with that. And it has nothing to do with the verse afterward that talks about boasting and false gifts being like a cloud and wind without rain. In other words, ain't no future in your front. Even Solomon said ain't no future in your front. Woo! Amen, amen, amen. So first things first, what do we do with our verse, with our segment? Say it louder. What is the topic? What is the subject? We're not diving in yet. We're surveying the land. We're trying to understand the topography. Trying to decide where and when to jump out with our parachute. What is the topic? Now, when you look at this section of scripture, in the most general terms, the topic is faithfulness. The topic is faithfulness. Don't you think we need to learn about faithfulness? God decided we needed to learn about faithfulness through Solomon. Now, if you go just a little bit deeper than just faithfulness, one thin layer underneath that, then we get to the impact of faithfulness. Did you know that faithfulness has an impact? Faithfulness causes outcomes. So we're talking about faithfulness, this one little verse. Solomon saw fit, or God saw fit through Solomon, to talk to us and anybody else who reads the Bible about faithfulness and at a deeper level, the impact thereof. Now, when we talk about faithfulness, what first comes to your mind? What was that again?
Faith is the
substance of hearing. Got it. So people will often go there, or they might go to faithfulness in relationships, but that's not what he's getting at here, neither of those things. He's talking about faithfulness, but he's talking about not fidelity or loyalty to a person, and he's not talking about pistis in the Greek faith in the New Testament. He's talking about fidelity and commitment to a purpose or a task. Your fidelity, your loyalty, and commitment to a purpose or a task. This is what he's talking about. This is what he's trying to break down for you. This is a purpose or a task that you, Jason, you, Mom, you, Carrie, are specifically charged with. He's talking about fidelity and commitment to a purpose or a task that you specifically, not the person sitting next to you, not the person in front of you, not the person behind you, not somebody else, but that you have been tasked with. So he's talking about faithfulness. Amen? We're talking about being dependable. We're talking about being reliable. We're talking about being trustworthy. How dependable are you? How reliable are you? How trustworthy are we? Say amen if you think that's important.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. How dependable, how reliable, how trustworthy were you taught to be? I don't know who taught you. I know a couple people who taught them. How dependable, how reliable, how trustworthy were you taught to be? What was put into you? Was that important? Maybe somebody important to you wasn't dependable. Maybe they weren't reliable. Maybe they weren't trustworthy. So you got the idea that that wasn't so important. And yet I know you had pain if they were not. So you can either double down on that problem or you can undo that curse. So we're talking about being dependable, reliable, trustworthy. Amen?
Amen.
How important do you think it is to be dependable, reliable, trustworthy? How important do you think it is? And what do our actions sometimes say about how important, or even more importantly, how impactful we think being dependable, being reliable, being trustworthy is? In simple terms, I could end this right now by saying, when you are dependable and reliable and trustworthy, people get to sleep and rest easily. And when you are not, you may think you're not doing any harm, but any child that stays out too late and their parents don't know where they are should understand what that does to a parent. If you've ever been a parent, if you've ever had that feeling, then you ought to know what it's like. That feeling of unrest, not having peace, is what people who are not dependable, not reliable, not trustworthy create in the world. So you're skipping along, doing your thing, not knowing that you're sowing seeds that take away peace. So how important do you think it is to be dependable, reliable, trustworthy? The Bible is taking the time to talk to you about it, to talk to us about it. You're talking about being what? Uh-huh. And trustworthy. Amen. Ain't no doctrine here. There's no how to baptize and what name to baptize and how many people God is. No. This is about how to live your life and how to make yourself and your life better. Amen?
Amen?
So when we go to the first part of our text, it says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest. So he's about to make a contrast, not of opposites, but he actually wants to double down on two things that are the same by talking about them two different ways. He says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest. So the person that's reading this or hearing this should immediately get a word picture in their minds. That's what he's expecting, by the way, just like I did. He's expecting you to say, oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. What's coming next? As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. So here's the thing. The first thing we might think of is what? Snow on the ground, right? What he's saying here is he's talking about snow, or actually ice. It was implied to the listeners. They knew what he was talking about. It's like you ever have a snow cone made of snow, right? Cold. It becomes like a beverage. In our case, we chew it and swallow it or let it roll around in our mouths. But what he's saying here is he's actually saying the ice that goes into a beverage to make it cold in the time of harvest. The time of harvest is what? Summer. And that's why schools are not in the summer traditionally because of our originally agrarian society, and summer was the time the kids needed to be home to help you harvest on the farm. So he's saying as significant or as powerful or as meaningful as the ice is to make the beverage cold, because handing you something wet will keep you from being dehydrated, but it will not comfort you. Nearly as much as that ice cold beverage. That's why this cannot hit you the way it needs to if you can't feel the heat. If you can't imagine the heat, you will water down this message. You will water down this lesson. So as the ice at the time of harvest, the ice that goes into the beverage, as the ice is so important to make that beverage refreshing in a time of your heat and exhaustion and exasperation, this is what he is saying. So just as you feel relief from the heat when you have this cold beverage, or in my case, the air conditioning, then that leads into his next point. So first, you have to imagine this relief, right? How significant is it for you? How important is the coolness? If it doesn't feel important in your mind right now, you will not get this message. How good, I want you to think about it, how good does it feel? Imagine it now. It's hot, exasperated, you're exhausted, you're oppressed by the heat, and you get that cold glass of water or whatever it is, Gatorade, iced tea, cherry Coke. Oh. Somebody else brought that to you. Somebody else brought it to you. As much relief as that brings, I want you to think about that feeling, that immediate feeling, and the moments thereafter. This is what he's trying to tell you. It's not my message. It's God's message, and he chose this text. So as important as that is, as powerful, as impactful as that is, now he leads into his next second section. He says, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. So he's saying just as significant, just as powerful, just as impactful, just as relief creating as the snow, the cold of the snow, not the snow itself, the cold of the snow, what it produces, what it creates. So is a faithful messenger to them that send him. So if a messenger is reliable and dependable and what? Trustworthy. It is as powerful to the recipient as the relief and the refreshing and the life-giving impact of the ice-cold drink or the air-conditioned shelter. The impact that someone who is dependable, who is reliable, who is trustworthy, this is the impact that you have on those who depend on you. This is to contrast you thinking, well, it would be nice. It would be nice if I feel like being trustworthy today. It would be nice if I feel like being dependable today. But maybe I'll just take the day off. I've been dependable 5 times in a row, so I'll just blow it off this time. I built up a good record. Solomon wants us to understand that it's not good enough just to be where you're supposed to be, by the way. Now we're getting, because I know this whole dependable thing, you can compartmentalize and you can have your own picture of what it means. He's saying it's not good enough just to be where you're supposed to be. It's not even good enough to be there on time. So those of you who don't show up at the right place, that's not good enough. You got to do that. And those of you who don't show up on time, that great, good enough, necessary, but not sufficient. You actually need to To be reliable, dependable, trustworthy, you need to actually also do what you were asked to do. This messenger is an ambassador. He's an emissary, just like the ambassadors of the United States or other countries. You can't just be there when you're supposed to and be where you're supposed to. You have to say what you were told to say, with the intent and the intonation that was the intent. Oh, I want to stop war. Could you please go and tell those people, really, we don't have any nukes over there. Oh, but you think we need to have the war. And so you go and say, we don't have any nukes. No, I told you to say, really, seriously, you've got to know, we do not want war. We have no nukes. You don't get to deliver it the way you want to deliver it. You don't get to say what you want to say. A faithful messenger. He's trying to get us to know that it's not your message. It's not your thing. It's not your cause. A faithful, dependable, reliable, trustworthy messenger is a long ways off. You're not with him when he gets there. He needs to say what he was told to say. He needs to have the impact that fits the intent of the sender. This is what Solomon is trying to teach us. It's not your message. It's somebody else's. Amen. You are not representing yourself. If you're going to represent yourself, you do what you need to do. I guess you'll do it the way you want to do it, and you're going to have to live with the consequences. You're going to have to live with the label that you get put. If people think you're lazy, it's because you've been acting lazy. If people don't think you're serious, it's because you've been delivering a not serious message with your life. So this is not your thing. So get out of that space if that's where you are. We're not talking about a messenger sending their own message. No, this is a messenger that's sent by someone, dependent upon by someone to do a thing, to say a thing on their behalf. You've been asked, and you took that person's life, hopes, dreams with you. When you get there, are you where you should be? Are you on time, there where you're supposed to be? And are you delivering the message as it was requested? Are you doing that thing the way you asked to do that thing? But we can get there and we can say, well, I'm good at elocution. I'm good flowery with words. I can deliver it better than it was given to me. I know how I can do this. This is my ministry. This is my thing. I'm going to do it my way. Who asked you to do it? Who empowered you to do it? Who instructed you to do it? Who gave you the opportunity to do it? Who gave you the opportunity to feel good about being a messenger? Who gave you that? Are you dependable? Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? He's trying to get us to understand the power in it. He's not even trying to slap you in the face and tell you, you're not dependable, you're not reliable, you're not trustworthy. He's trying to tell you how wonderful it is when you are. He's trying to tell you how powerful it is when you are. Now, there's an implication when you don't give that thing that you should give, just like there's an implication when you don't love somebody that you should be loving. There's an implication when you don't sacrifice for somebody that they need you to sacrifice for them. There's an implication that the absence of it will leave you in the heat of the day, exasperated and desperate. There's an implication. Amen. Are you following me?
Yeah.
It's not your message. You're not representing yourself. And so he finishes after you've got this clarity. You have this clarity around the distinction between, the contrast between the exasperating, exhausting heat and then you being brought this glass of ice cold, whatever you like the best. And how much relief that is, how powerful it is to the one that sent you, the one that asked you to do that thing, the one that depended on you to do a thing. He says, for, meaning because, he refresheth the soul of his masters. So he's saying, in the heat of the harvest, you doing what you're supposed to do exactly how you were asked to do it is like the ice that makes the beverage cold for one who is exasperated in the heat. And the recipient of that relief, that refreshment, are those, the souls of those who called you to do it, who asked you to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this word refresh is important. It means to bring back. It means to return. It literally means what I just told you about with me in the golf course. It literally means to be barely able to move and things are foggy, and 2 or 3 minutes later, you have life. Whoa, I can golf now. Let's go do 18. The problem is if I go back in the heat, one hole and I'm going to be messed up again. But the feeling, the energy, the sudden infusion of life is what you give to the soul of. It doesn't mean the eternal soul. It means to the spirit of, to the emotions of, to the vigor of the person who sent you. They get to rest. They get to feel good. They get to focus on something else and be productive because they're not sitting around worried about, are you going to show up on time? Are you going to be where you're supposed to be? And are you going to do what they asked you to do? Not what you want. You don't know what, you don't know why they asked you to do it the way they asked you to do it. You ever thought about that? But we get mad. We get offended if folks don't glorify the message we decided to give. It was a good message. Maybe it was even better than the message you planned. Guess what? You're leaving them in the heat. He's trying to tell you a faithful messenger has some power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Power to do good. Hallelujah. It's some good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
When someone depends on you for anything, and you agree to do it, you have a lot of power. You have an opportunity for impact. You can leave them in the heat or you can give them the refreshment. What do you want to be? Do you want to be the ice that makes the drink cold? Or what do you want to be? What impact do we have, all of us, with the tasks and the purposes that we've been asked to do or called for? For God. We have all our own versions of what we've been asked to do by God or by the pastor or by a friend or by a loved one if you've accepted that charge or have, you know, even more so if it's your responsibility to start with. They're depending on you. What impact do we have in the task that we're asked to carry out? Are we dependable? Are we reliable? Are we trustworthy? Are we where we should be? That's a good question. When we are expected and relied upon, are we there when we should be there? Are we doing what we were asked to do our way? Are we loving the person the way we feel like loving them? Are we loving them in the way we know is a cool glass of water? Are we doing things the way we were asked to do it, the way the person is dependent upon us to do it? Are we willing to just give whatever we feel like giving? Solomon is essentially saying with these flowery words that you have to reach back and translate and fix it up and know that snow doesn't mean snow and understand that harvest means summer. And he's talking about the heat. That's where the snow came in. That's where the refreshment comes in. And refreshment means bringing back to life. So now all of a sudden the word picture is so clear. Now the power and the impact is so clear. He's essentially saying to be on post and on point. You can't just be on post. You got to also be on point. It's not good enough to say, I'm going to be on point, but I'll get there when I want to. I'll get there when I can. I'll do it in the place I want to do it. You can't have just one. You must have both. He's saying be on post and on point. And if you do that, you are so extremely impactful, so extremely powerful, you bring peace and life to those who depend on you. If you will be on post and on point in your life, you will be that messenger, that emissary, that ambassador that brings peace and life. Little did you know, you thought preachers and teachers and people with 10,000 people listen to them were the main people making a big impact like that. But you make a big impact by just being dependable, reliable, trustworthy. That basketball player needs to know he's posted up in the corner where he's supposed to be so I can throw a no-look pass and know that he's in the ready position. I need to know that. I need to know that the receiver knows I'm going to throw a back shoulder so he knows when to do this so I can throw it where I'm supposed to throw it and for it not to be an interception. I need to know this. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy. That's why some people are not as fast in football. They're not as strong in football. But if you're a good route runner, baby, the quarterback will lobby for you to get paid. No good for him to throw him or to throw good passes if you're not where you're supposed to be. You can be the fastest guy out there and you can outrun your own route. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy, impact, so he can go back there and accept that hit, knowing it's going to be worth it. Why? Because you're going to be where you're supposed to be, so I can release it. And when I get knocked down as a quarterback, it's worth it. Amen?
Amen.
You're bringing peace and life to those that depend on you, because if you don't, you're leaving them out in the heat. So let's do first things what? First, let's not be lazy or fail to take care of business, and let's be on post and on point. Words of wisdom for God to give us a better life and to make us better people.